call to order the Papio NRD Board Directors Meeting. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Copy opens Meeting Act, Nebraska Revised Statute 8447 through 8414. It's posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning the agenda for tonight's meeting, I'd like to announce procedure will be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will hear the subcommittee chairperson's report with their proposals and recommendations, and the public will be given the opportunity to address the board chairperson. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action. All questions and comments will be addressed to the board chair. We ask that the public not interrupt the directors' discussions and action. Thank you. Form call, please.
Bailey.
Here.
Bradley.
Here.
Conley.
Here.
Fowler.
Here.
Grinwald.
Here.
Jeff.
Here.
McCormick.
Here.
Teaser.
Here.
Reese.
Here.
And chairperson.
Here.
Adoption agenda, item four.
So motion.
Second by Teaser and second by Conley. Roll call.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Fowler.
Yes.
Grinwald. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Weiss.
Yes.
Bailey. Aye.
Yes. Five, adoption is consent agenda.
So moved.
Fowler.
Second.
By Conley. Roll call.
Fowler.
Yes.
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 Weiss.
Yes.
Bailey.
Aye.
Bradley.
Yes.
And chairperson.
Yes. Six, I have here proof publication of the announcement of this meeting and the appropriate legal notices and so on for the record. Moving on to item eight, which is agency reports of Nebraska Land Trust. Dave Sands, are you here?
Yes,
sir. Okay.
He is here. Before I introduce David, kind of remind the board, and a lot of you weren't here at the time, but about 20 years ago, the district started down a path of creating our own land trust, essentially. It was a conservation easement program. After about a year of working towards that goal, it was decided that maybe it'd be better if we just partnered with another group of people that were also forming a similar type of an easement program. We've been a charter member, that is the NRD, has been a charter member of the Nebraska Land Trust since its beginning. And they've been around for probably 15 years or close.
2009.
Anyway, I'd like to introduce the land trust that we've been partnering with is essentially two people. Dave and another individual who's not here, Jacob. And they've completed over 45 easements since they've been in existence. They're a fully accredited land trust in the state of Nebraska. And they've have over 30,000 acres now in protection, permanent conservation easement, in 18 different counties in the state. Anyway, I'd like to introduce Dave, who's going to be giving us a kind of an update of what they've been doing over the last few years. A few of you haven't been around, I don't think, when Dave was last here about 2.5 years ago. So anyway, I'd like to introduce Dave Sands, who is the executive director, and he'll go through a fairly brief program.
Thank you, Jim. Maybe I'll take this off.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be here, and thank you for having me. We are about a little over two years now into what we call our Lower Platte Valley Preservation Partnership, of which you guys are a very important partner. So I want to thank you for allowing me to come in and just present you with an update of where we've been and where we're going. Now, just a little bit of background for maybe those of you who aren't familiar with the Nebraska Land Trust. Let's see. There we go. When it comes to land in Nebraska, we're lucky. We live in a state of diversity. I wouldn't trade Nebraska for any state in the country because we run from...
Dave, before you start, any other folks in the public can't see the screen. You're welcome to come around and watch if so desire. All right, let's see.
Thanks. So, you know, I call Nebraska a twofer because we're an eastern state and a western state. In the eastern part of the state, we have hardwood forests like the Lower Platte Valley to ranches and towering buttes in the Pine Ridge. But as diverse as our landscapes are, there's a common thread that ties them all together, and that is the future is largely determined by people who live on and work on the land, in other words, farmers and ranchers. So what does the future hold? Well, the good news is in most places, those farms and ranches will be just fine. But agriculture has a tough time competing with people in pretty places, and there are a lot of pretty places in Nebraska. So good stewardship of private lands benefits us all. I always feel like I need to point this out, that private lands provide habitats, scenic views, historic sites, agriculture, education, recreation, water quantity and quality protection, flood protection, and tourism. And conservation easements can help to preserve all these things forever. Now, the cost of putting a conservation easement in place is expensive. There's significant staff time, travel, the purchase price, which we raise from other sources, legal advice, transaction costs, appraisal, and stewardship endowment. So in other words, it's pretty much like any real estate deal. You still have to do all the due diligence that you would go through as though you were purchasing the property, even though you're only purchasing essentially development rights and certain development rights in the property. Now, I want to make the point that conservation easements are not intended to stop growth. We all want roofs over our head. We all need houses to live in. What they're about is conserving very special places as growth occurs, so we don't lose those places forever. And the Lower Platte Valley is certainly one of those places. Now, the Nebraska Land Trust was formed in 2001, as Jim mentioned, and our mission statement, in quotes there, is unique, I think, among conservation organizations in Nebraska, because it says we're about the protection of agricultural, historical, and natural resources. And you know what? We list them alphabetically because we don't want to imply those. One's more important than the other. They're all important to us. So ideally, when we protect land, we want it to be maintained as a working farm or ranch. Now, it does take credibility, capacity, and community to protect private land forever. You know, the credibility, I think, is our track record, which speaks for itself. We've gotten a number of articles in the paper. Some of you may have recently seen an article in the Omaha World Herald about an 1,100-acre prairie we conserve next to the Willa Cather Memorial Prairie south of Red Cloud. And so our projects do get good press on occasion. We are the largest private lands land trust in the state. We are serious about stewardship. We monitor all our easement properties at least once a year. And as Jim mentioned, we're a nationally accredited land trust. And national accredited, in fact, we just got reaccredited. And in the reaccreditation, they usually send you a letter of improvements. I don't want to imply we're perfect. We're far from it. But they couldn't find anything to put in that letter for improvements. So we are now accredited and reaccredited. Now, our capacity really stems from our board. The Nebraska Land Trust is really unique in the United States among land trusts because we're essentially an organization of organizations. And, you know, we talk about the Nebraska way and how we like to cooperate in Nebraska and we like to collaborate. Well, that's what this land trust has been. You know, all these organizations could have set out and started their own land trusts. Instead, they decided, let's have one statewide land trust that adheres to the highest standards and that all these organizations participate in. And while Jim mentioned that there's only two full-time staff, that really doesn't show the whole picture because we get so much from our board member partners. All of our mapping is done by Chris Poole at the Lower Platte North NRD. If we need a biologist, a wildlife biologist, we call up Game and Parks, not only get a biologist, but one specific to that area. Normal land trusts would have to hire all this staff. We don't. And so it is a very collaborative, highly efficient organization, thanks to you all and our board member partners. And I do want you to know, too, that among that list are the Nebraska Cattlemen and the Sandhills Cattle Association. And they're on our board because they view conservation easements very simply as a property right. And they believe that a landowner should have the future to determine, or have the right to determine the future of their land. And if the future be a Walmart, so be it. But if they want to keep it in habitat and agriculture, they have that right to do that too. And that's what conservation easements do. So that brings me to the most important leg of the three-legged stool, which is community. Because all conservation is local. We know that. If conservation isn't supported at the local level, it's not sustainable. So I'm going to take you 450 miles west briefly, and this does tie into what we're doing in the Lower Platte Valley, but I want to explain how we got there. Pine Ridge was a tough place to do land conservation. They were highly suspicious of land conservation organizations. So when we did a couple easements out there in about 2012, our board said maybe we should make this a priority area for the land trust. And I said, sure, great, love to work out here, beautiful area. But you know what? First thing we're going to do is form an advisory committee and ask the people who live here, what do they want to protect? It's their backyard. What's important to them? It's not about what's important to us. So we formed the Pine Ridge Advisory Committee in 2014. And these are the diversity of people that were on that. We had ranchers from three counties, tourism, the NRD, Game and Parks, NRCS, historian. I mean, you can read down the list and see that it's a pretty diverse group of folks. And you know what? This is one of the most engaged and thoughtful groups I think I've ever worked with. They are just a wonderful bunch of people. And we just start putting stuff up on the board. What's important to you in this area? What do you want your grandkids to enjoy? And then we ask them to prioritize those things. And then we started signing points based on priority, with the idea that we want the cream to rise to the top, because there's always more people interested in selling conservation easements than there are funds to buy them. So we want to make sure we're getting the very best properties for the limited funds that are out there. So we asked these folks three questions. As I mentioned, what makes your region unique? What would you conserve for the future generations? And what are your priorities? And from that came a scoring criteria that was developed by the committee and then approved by the NLT board. And we used that scoring criteria ever since. Over the last 4 years, we've scored 15 properties totaling about 17,000 acres. And this fall, we'll probably be scoring about three more totaling about 7,000 acres. And that shows one of the hidden advantages of having a local advisory committee is they become your landscape ambassadors. They run into their friends in the grocery store complaining about the Floridians that are buying up land in the Pine Ridge, and they say, well, why don't you talk to the Nebraska Land Trust if you don't want to see your ranch subdivided and developed someday. And so a lot of these prospects are coming to us because we took the time to form a local advisory committee and ask local people what they wanted. And then the results are put on spreadsheets, and from that we selected four projects totaling 7,200 acres, and all are working agriculture. And I want to make a point that another thing that makes the Nebraska Land Trust unique is we do agricultural conservation easements. Conservation easements can be designed in a huge variety of ways. You know, on one end of the spectrum, you could design a conservation easement solely to protect an endangered species on a ranch. It might end well for the endangered species, might not end well for the rancher. Or you could design the endangered species to protect that working ranch and figure whatever they've been doing must be good because that endangered species is still there. And that's the way we design our conservation easements. They are designed not to interfere with the normal workings of a farm and ranch. And then they help keep land in the family, in agriculture, and in scenic habitat. And I can tell you, there's a number of landowners have come to us post-COVID-19 and said, thank goodness we did that conservation easement. It's really going to help us survive this crisis. So putting the pieces together back in the Lower Platte Valley, the Platte Valley has been a focus for our land trust from the very start because it's so important for people and wildlife. We got five agreements donated in the first 4 years. And then in 2008, we went out on a limb and purchased our first conservation easement using an NRCS program and environmental trust funds. And that was on the Shanahan Farm in Saunders County. And you'll notice our mission statement says protection of agricultural, historical, and natural resources. It had all three in spades. Their soil was literally some of the finest farm soil in the state. It was the most sacred of five sacred sites for the Pawnee Nation. and the natural resources. That's the last bluff where you'll find Oak Hickory Woodlands in the Lower Platte Valley. So these are the kinds of projects that we look for and love to be involved with. So in 2008, we decided, okay, let's go beyond a special place and look for a special area. And we identified the Schramm Bluffs of Sarpy County as one of those special areas. And so since 2008, we've completed 8 agreements just in the Schramm Bluffs, preserving about 1,240 acres. Overall, in the Lower Platte Valley, we've preserved about 3,600 acres from Fremont downstream. Our partners in funding have largely been the Nebraska Environmental Trust and the Natural Resources Conservation Service. Landowners have always also been very generous in donating over $1 million of value of their easements, and then other funds have come as well. So the total of $7,330,000 is for the Lower Platte Valley only. And so I was a businessman once upon a time, and I look at return on investment. And for you guys, for your 30,000 cooperative agreement, that would be a 7-to-1 on 9 cooperative, a 27-to-1 return on investment for 9 cooperative agreements. So that's what we do. We go out and find the funds for conservation. Our partners in funding the cost of protection are you all, the Lower Platte South NRD, and Nebraska Game and Parks, and private donors to a lesser extent. But you all have been a critical part of our work in the Lower Platte Valley. So that's gave rise to the Lower Platte Valley Preservation Partnership in about late 2017. It was based on, again, community outreach, education, and engagement, forming a Lower Platte Valley Advisory Committee, which we've done, using that advisory committee to create project selection criteria like we did in the Pine Ridge. That has been done. Then scoring and prioritization of properties, which has been done. And then applying to NRCS and NET grant applications and other fundraising. Then we have to go get appraisals, do your normal transaction requirements and due diligence, and what you get at the end of the road is forever protection of key resources. So this is the Lower Platte Valley Advisory Committee, which was formed in 2017. As you can see, it looks similar to the Pine Ridge, but not identical. But we did try to cover a lot of area. For instance, the business representative is Western Sand and Gravel, because they're a big player in the Lower Platte Valley. And whatever we do, it would be nice to have them on board and at the table, and they have been at the table. And so that's kind of organization we are. We just reach out to people. We like to bring people together. And so these are the kinds of things that they came up with on their criteria list. Agricultural resources is one section, and you can see all the things there from terraces to grass waterways, to the size of the operation, beginning farmers, historic farms, and so forth. So we look at all those resources. Aquatic resources are important, as you might think. So springs, groundwater, connected to the river, wetlands, wellhead protection areas, flood protection, all that type of stuff gets scored. And then there's the terrestrial resources, things like the upland hardwood forest, scenic views from public places like I-80 or public parks, rock outcroppings, in at-risk species, native prairie, stuff like that. And then finally, cultural and historical resources. And we do find those in the Lower Platte Valley. The Lower Platte Valley is very rich with Native American sites and early pioneer sites. And then also recreation and tourism resources are important too, because we all know that the Lower Platte Valley could be a recreation mecca. And is a recreation mecca. So we give points for land that is adjacent to state parks, public land, and so forth, or land that allows some form of public access or has perhaps a bed and breakfast for ecotourism, that type of thing. So after 10 meetings over 12 months, this group also was very engaged and thoughtful. The scoring criteria were approved in June of 2018, and in October of 2018, we scored 6 properties totaling 1,100 acres with a 9-person team from the committee. And this is a map of the properties we scored. The properties in yellow are existing conservation easements. The properties in blue are the properties that we scored. I don't know if there's a pointer on this, but you can see that one of those properties, look at Schramm Park in kind of the lower left there. And you'll see a farm that not only abuts Schramm Park, but also abuts an existing conservation easement. And that became the priority property for the Platte, for the advisory committee. It's a 200-acre farm adjacent to the park and the Fetty easement, and that was selected as the top priority. There are a couple of obstacles, though, that have held things up, and I'll be honest with you. We didn't anticipate this. You never do anticipate obstacles, right? But we had these. The first one was the farm. It's actually a 400-acre farm, and it's owned by two siblings who really don't get along well. And one of them doesn't want to do the conservation easement. The other, it's her dying wish. And so she is trying to work with her brother to split the farm. And we've been asking her to do this since January of, 2019, over a year now. She's been trying to get that farm split. And she's, not for lack of trying, but her brother just hasn't done it yet. And we did, the other anticipated change was a change in the Nebraska Environmental Trust. The Environmental Trust had previously been very supportive of conservation easements. The board changed, as boards do. And there's some board members on there who are really against conservation easements. And you might ask, why would they be against? The answer I most often get is you should never make a forever decision on land. But we all know that development can be a forever decision, too. If a property goes under concrete, it's never going to grow corn again. And so, again, I talk about the two flip side of forever decisions. And so, for whatever reason, we applied for a $1 million grant, which ranked 15th out of 130 requests in 2018. So we thought we were good to go. But they said, no, you know, we're a little short of funds this year. We're only going to give you $350,000. And then come back next year. You ranked high. You'll get it. And we'll give you the rest. We came back the next year. They did rank us highly. They did approve it. But at the April meeting, two members who don't like conservation easements took it off, tried to kill it, and it got tabled to August, and they killed it then. So they took away $650,000 from us, even though it scored highly. And so the Environmental Trust has, you know, kind of upended their previous scoring system based on merit. I don't really want to get into that, other than to say things have changed. They're not a reliable partner anymore. But we did have that $350,000. And so I went to the Environmental Trust for a one-year extension so we could do that farm in February. And it was a 9-1 vote not to give us the extension. Even though we said the first year there will be no land protection, we're just going to be doing outreach and creating criteria. But then at the June meeting, members said that due to COVID-19, we should extend all grants for 6 more months that expire on June 30th. So voila, we got the $350 back. So what we're doing now is we've given the owner of that farm till July 31st to get it split. And so if she doesn't, we had a Platte River Valley Advisory Committee meeting yesterday to decide how we approach the other landowners on the list if she doesn't want to do it. And they told us to approach them in rank order, so that's what we'll do. So hopefully by the end of August, we will have a landowner that says, you know, that $350 is plenty for me. I'm going to proceed, and we'll use those funds on that easement. So solutions, changes in the 2018 Farm Bill no longer require cash match for NRCS dollars. They used to. Used to be the NRCS would fund 50%, but the land trust had to come up with 25% cash match. We don't have to anymore. The landowner can donate the whole 50%, which is great if the landowner can afford it. The sad thing is, by a lack of match from the Environmental Trust, they're really hurting the landowners that need it the most. Who can't afford to donate 50% of their easement. But a number of them are happy with that, and so we can still use the NRCS program. We've already approached one private foundation for a large grant, so we can match the NRCS funds on any property that abuts public land. And then also, like I mentioned, we've come up with a plan B for that $350,000 grant. The road ahead is continual outreach and visits with landowners, including new ones, additional site visits to score property, project selection based on those site visits, application for NRCS funds, which happens in April, and private funds as able. And then we have to go into the due diligence, the transaction costs, and so forth. And then we have to annually monitor every easement that we hold at least once a year. And I just wanted to bring this up real quickly, that we do activities beyond conservation or preservation. We do restoration. This is the Kennedy Farm Cedar Removal Project. The Kennedy Farm is directly across the river from Platte River State Park. They had a nice oak woodland, but it was overgrown with cedar. And the partners in that cedar thinning were the Nebraska Forest Service, Game and Parks, NRCS, and this NRD. And it was the first large-scale cedar removal project on the lower Platte, And there you can see the before and afters of that cedar removal. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you all may have.
Questions? Thank you.
Okay, well, I thank you for having
me. Of course.
Thanks. We will, and we appreciate your support in what we do. Thank you so much.
Let the record show, Director McCormick is now present.
My apologies.
Have the report. You're here, thank you. Item 9 or 8B, Natural Resource Conservation Service Report. Andy Bonenkamp, is he here? Sure is. Welcome back yourself.
Thank you.
February, April, when is March? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was February's last meeting, so 4 months. It's kind of nice to be back, and I just wanted to be present, just kind of get things back to normal and be here to deliver a little bit of positive news on what's been going on at the NRCS here and the NRD here the last 4 months, and kind of provide an update on programs and staffing. And then a little bit about the office reopenings here lately. So with our EQIP program, Environmental Qualities Incentives Program, right now we're in the process of writing and approving contracts. So far with the first round of money funding, we've got roughly $727,000 in state and area and local funds. And I think I mentioned that at the start of my tenure here at one of my first reports, my goal was to get to a little over $1.2 million. That would eclipse last year's amount of about around $1.1 million. So I don't know if we're going to make it this year because our funding will only be available till about August, mid-August. We've had some new software that we've struggled with and really wrestled with, and then with the COVID issue, it's thrown a wrench into things, but we're going to work hard at it, and I think we can get there. We just have 2 to 3 weeks to get this first round out of the way, and then we can ask for more money back. So I'm optimistic, but cautiously. On CSP, really, there's really no update. We haven't done a whole lot with CSP. We're still in the process of ranking and funding those, kind of sorting through the applications. CRP, we're starting to approve CRP contracts in August, and our rough count for CRP is right around 115 new or re-enrolled contracts. That's around 3,100 acres in contracts, which is a great number, kind of getting back to some of the historic numbers we're used to. Moving on to staffing. In the NRD, we've got two tentative selections that we've made for soil conservation technicians that we've had open or vacancies for. So in the Walt Hill Field Office in Blair, we'll be hiring those positions here in the next week or two. It's not official, so I can't say any names, but really happy about that. And then we were unable to hire a soil conservationist for Takema. The applicant that we picked turned it down, so that kind of put us in limbo, which actually turned out to be a good thing. I've kind of been given tentative approval to hire a resource conservationist in Walt Hill, which is great news for me because we've had a vacancy there for about 3 years now, and it's a huge hole for us. So I'm looking forward to getting that on the docket and getting that hopefully hired here in the next month or two, which would be really good. That would leave me with really pretty much a full staff unless a staffing plan comes out in the next couple months that can help me increase my numbers. So really I'm pretty much stuck with that amount of new hires over the next 6 months or so. So that's what I'm looking at there. The office reopening, really, Takema and Blair are the only two offices right now that have moved to phase one of our COVID-19 playbook. Basically, that means we can have most all of our NRCS staff in the office, along with our contract employees and NRD staff. So that's great news for us. No more teleworking for me. I've been working in my camper and my driveway, and it's been a struggle. So I'm glad to be back in my office and away from the kids. So, but we are still, our doors are locked. We're not taking any visitors. You know, we've got to meet with people off-site, outside, which we're working through it, and it's working okay, but no in-office appointments until we move to phase two, which can happen in 14 days for those two offices if there's no rise in cases in our county, in those counties. So hopefully things will just kind of keep progressing here, but for now, Walt Hill and Dakota City are still in the gated phase, which basically just means they're sitting there waiting to move to phase one. So that's really all I've got for now. I'll welcome any questions if you have them. Thank you.
Item C, legislative report, is a written report in your folder. I'm not going to read it. No one wants me to. But basically, July 20th is when their legislators are set to reconvene for the final 17 days of the session. So please read that beyond your tab, agency reports. And that's that. Item 9, subcommittee reports. 9A, programs, projects, operations, Fred Conley.
Be resolved for the minutes of the July 7, 2020 meeting of the subcommittee are accepted. Subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. Presentation of integrated. Culvert Revitalization Project. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute a contract with Pratt Thomas Construction Inc. in the amount of $1,941 for the construction of the No Name Drive Culvert Revitalization Project, subject to change by the general manager approval.
Committee still moves. Any public comments? Directors? Paul?
Elder?
Yes.
Rumel?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Sikansky?
Yes.
Caesar?
Yes.
Weiss?
Yes.
Bagley?
Aye.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Chipper?
Yes.
Item number 983, Dakota County Rural Water. Following rehabilitation resolution be adopted. Resolution authorizing the President and Secretary of the Taffy Missouri Urban Network documents required to receive the United States Department of Agricultural Rural Development Financial Assistance. The following motion was introduced in July 2020 by the Board of Therefore, be resolved by the Board of the Papua Reserve on the rest of resolve that the President and Secretary are authorized and directed to security instruments or other President or the Secretary should change the Missouri River Natural Resources District does not need to amend the USDA rules.
Public comments. Directors.
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Sikansky?
Yes.
Caesar?
Yes.
with the City of West Patfield Trail Drainage Improvements. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute the proposed construction of the West Patfield Trail. Subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager's approval.
Public comments? Veterans?
Oh, question. What was the time frame on this one, and when is it going to occur? Actual construction?
Time frame, Mayor?
I'm sorry, but what was the question?
What was the actual time frame as when construction could actually occur then?
I think bidding in September, construction over the fall, winter, and into spring, but expected to be done by spring is what Omaha expects right now.
Okay, that's all I needed.
Yep.
Somebody asked me about that, and I was unclear about it.
Yep, and then the second half of our reimbursement would be the next year after the project is done. I think it is probably not expected to be a very lengthy construction timeline.
Okay, thank you.
Paul?
Yes.
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 Weeks. Yes.
Begley.
Aye.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Fowler.
Yes.
Winwell.
Yes.
And
Chair.
Yes.
985, interlocal agreement with the City of Fremont. Platte, North, or Platte River cameras and sensors. Recommendation of the general manager of the the general manager approved us.
Public comments? Sav.
Directors.
Paul.
McCormick.
Yes.
Sapinski.
Yes.
Teaser.
Yes.
Weiss.
Aye.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Fowler.
Yes.
Winwell.
No.
Jeff.
Yes.
Patrick.
Yes.
Item 9A6, Water Sustainability Fund Grant Application for the Lower Platte NRD Hydraulic Framework and Assessment. Recommendation of the General Manager be
public comments. Additional comments. Directors.
Yes.
Weiss.
Yes.
Begley.
Aye.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Fowler.
Yes.
Winwell.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
And Chairperson.
Yes. 9B. FEL, Director Rich Teaser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be it resolved, the minutes of the July 7th, 2020 meeting of the FEL subcommittee are hereby accepted and incorporated in these minutes, and the following recommendations of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. Item 1, FY 2021 Budget Draft 1, no action was taken by the subcommittee. Item 2, FY 2021 Budget Bid Computation, 1% resolution, recommendation that the following resolution be adopted. Be it resolved that the Board of Directors of the Papio Missouri River NRD approves the additional increase of 1% in total restricted funds authority pursuant to Nebraska Revised Statutes 13-518 through 13-522, and I so move.
Public comments. Directors, any comments? I can remind folks that this is that's not anything to do with increasing our budget or mill levy. It's just within our current budget. Those categories can, if need be, 41%. That roll call.
Yes.
Please.
No.
Begley.
Aye.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Fowler.
Yes.
No.
McCormick.
Yes.
Sapinski.
Item 3, ICM contributions account 01035364195, over 110%. Recommendation that the account for contributions cost share flood preparedness account 01035364195 be allowed to exceed the budget amount of $13,087 without further approval of the board, and I so move.
Public comments? Directors? Roll call.
Please.
Yes.
Aye.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley? Fowler?
Yes.
Kimball?
Yes.
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Skinsky?
Yes.
Caesar?
Yes.
Yes.
That concludes my report, Mr. Chairman.
And Treasurer's report, Dr. Larry Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be it resolved that the Treasurer is authorized to expend general funds to pay, one, claims listed in the June 2020 financial report, and two, any claims made prior to the next board meeting for A, earned salaries of district employees, B, withholding taxes, C, Social Security payments, D, retirement program contributions, E, utilities, F, registration fees and expenses for upcoming meetings and conferences, G, certified completed CAP and special project area applications, H, invoices which offer a credit or discount for payment made prior to the next board meeting, I, postage, and J, building and grounds contract expenses. Be it further resolved that the Treasurer is authorized to pay from the respective operating accounts of the Washington County, Dakota County, and Thurston County Water Supply System, the Elkhorn Breakout Project, the Elkhorn River Stabilization Project, the Elk Pigeon Creek Drainage Project, the Western Sarpy Drainage Project, the Papillion Creek Watershed Partnership, and the Southern Sarpy Watershed Partnership Project bills listed on the June 2020 financial report and future claims for project utilities. Be it further resolved that the financial reports be affixed to and made part of the minutes, and I so move.
Public comments on Treasury. Oh, before we proceed, it's been a motion to approve the Treasury report.
Second.
Fowler, did you second it? Fowler second. Comments on the public? Directors.
Oh. Aye.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Fowler?
Yes.
Kimball?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Caesar?
Yes.
Weiss?
Yes. 11 legal update. Brent, anything? While Chairperson's report, it's got one item I want to report. Yesterday, I attended a meeting on the Omaha Land Bank, specifically in regards to the Beltline Trail, and it's a line item in the budget that next month or two we'll be probably modifying that because there's going to be some land need to be acquired in addition to what we already planned. Basically, this is a loop through North Omaha up to like 45th and Hamilton up to Malcolm X Foundation, 34th and Pratt, whatever that is, eventually over to 24th Street. So it was a good meeting. There's a chairperson named Redmond, whose father turns out to be one of the original board members on the NRD. This involved an interlocal agreement that we approved, City of Omaha approved, we're waiting for them to approve. They're not going to approve it, so look forward next month to an amendment to that original interlocal that keeps the City of Omaha and the Papua NRD as the two parties. There will be a resolution passed by the Land Bank to basically incorporate their needs into what we desire between us and the city. It's bureaucratic item that just has to be processed. It shouldn't affect our ability to build that trail eventually and open up this recreational feature and asset to North Omaha. So stay tuned on that. That's all I have. General Manager report, John Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The information and education highlights for July, the IE department will soon be launching a campaign called There Is Jeopardy, and that's to help educate the public about our hazard mitigation plan update, as well as garner community feedback to incorporate into that updated plan. That plan occurs every 5 years, and in order to receive federal disaster funds or FEMA funds, every community or agency has to have a updated hazard mitigation plan. So obviously they're very important, as we discovered last year. The district has been awarded Nebraska Department of Environment and Energy 319 non-point source pollution grant. The grant will implement the first phase of the Papillion Creek Water Quality Management Plan, which includes hiring a temporary full-time watershed coordinator and then working to implement best management practices that specifically lower E. coli bacteria, which has been a consistent problem in the Papillion Creek watershed. The grant is funded for 3 years and is a 60-40 cost share. National Safety Council of Nebraska awarded the district one of Nebraska's safest companies for the 12th consecutive year. A huge thanks to our Health, Safety, and Wellness Committee, as well as Nicole for leading that, and well as our leadership team for their commitment to our safety program. What that event, you know, it's nice to have the awards, and we have all displayed in the entrance, but what that does lead to is it's a direct savings to the taxpayer. As a safe company leads to, obviously, employee not only health, but also efficiency, but also a lower premiums when it comes to work comp. And so we stress safety here, and it's great to see those type of awards, but it really does equal dollars and cents at the end of the day. We did receive a thank you letter from the Midlands Community Foundation and the Ryan and Tiffany Walters for a donation to their Dominic Walters Memorial Fund. The gift was made to Randy Lee on his behalf, from the Southeast Nebraska Land Surveyors Association, and they used our facility for their meetings. And so they seen the board out front that was going to be a future project here at the NRD, and so they made that donation to the Midland Foundation to that project on Randy's behalf because of all of his work with them over the years to accommodate them and meet their needs. So we want to thank them for doing that. And there will be more coming on that later, but if you don't know, so 4-year-old Dominic Walters, he died tragically in 2018, and so the Memorial Fund was created to keep his legacy alive in various ways, including the soon-to-be-built Dom Park, which we will be talking about in future months. Also, the report on purchases, construction services, personal property, and professional services is attached for June, as well as the current and ongoing project with the District Legal Counsel. The Watershed Partnership meeting for June was canceled. Next meeting is scheduled for July 23rd, 2020. If there's no questions, that concludes my report. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Just want to add, Director Reese, in light of your discussion on Tuesday about dynamite, it's been vetoed by the safety committee. Like informally, so
leave it in your trunk. Leave it in your trunk. Don't do
that. Yeah, close. Yeah.
John, on the playground, where do you go? There it is. We budget in this year's budget for that. Is there a time frame?
Yeah, so it most likely will be spring. So we received all the spring of next year. We received all the approvals from the Corps. The foundation, the Dominic Walters Foundation, is donating over $80,000 to the construction of that. So we're getting a $270,000 playground equipment for, you know, whatever the difference is there. So it's a big, I mean, it's a benefit to us, but then also to honor their son. So the board will have to pass a resolution accepting that gift. And allowing them to, because of that gift, to put the name on the playground. So, but that will be coming in future years. We were going to have it earlier, but obviously the COVID issue, and we wanted them here to really tell the story. I don't know how they do it. They tell it, and I don't know how they hold themselves together to do it. But it's really it's a touching thing, and they turned a real tragedy into a very positive thing, not only for their son. But, I mean, that playground equipment's over 25, 30 years old. It meets no current standard of safety or design. And so to build something like that for the kids of this community to enjoy, it just shows what kind of people they are and their selflessness. So more to come, though.
exactly is it going to be?
Yeah, it'll be in the, where the other playground is over here, and if you notice that, it's
take the old one down.
We'll take the old one out and replace it. And so obviously the Corps had to give permission because we lease this facility. They're all for it, though. It'll be a beautiful facility, and there'll be kids from all over the place playing on it. It'll truly be a nice amenity for the community. Thank you.
14, election of officers. Is the sheet here, Gene, in everyone's binder? Please note the officers 3.0 for a policy on down to 3.2, the duties of the different officers. By protocol, I will turn the first election over to the vice chairman to conduct that election for the chairperson. So, Fred, you are.
Well, as he indicated, the first.
I'd like to nominate George Thompson.
Yes.
I assume you did. So.
I'd like to nominate Director Japp.
Yes.
Right on the card?
Yes.
The blue card.
I say you color coded these. So.
Try to make my life as easy as I possibly can.
Confidence. Position of vice chairman, all of my nominations.
Nominate, sorry.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to nominate Fred Conley. I accept the nomination.
My turn.
I move affirmation, Fred Conley. Oh, we don't do roll call on that, do we? Final call. Okay. Great name,
though. Congratulations.
Right, nomination for secretary are now open. Director Spitzky.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to nominate Director Rich Teaser.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
Treasurer, open nominations for treasurer.
Nominate Larry Bradley.
I'd like to nominate Tim Fowler.
I'll set. The nominations. Treasurer Green, dark green, Kelly Green.
Forest green.
Sorry.
Out of war.
As is required by our policy, the treasurer appoints a vice. Assistant treasurer. Yep. Resolution. I think that's NARD. That's next. We vote on the resolution all at once here, or 14, or wait till 15? All right, so item 15, we'll move on. Election of the NARD director and alternate director. NARD representative. Nominations for NARD representative.
Thank you again, everybody.
And you elect a alternate, correct? Or do we vote on that?
Vote on it.
Okay. In case Rich can't do his duties down in Lincoln, we need an alternate for the NARD alternate. So nomination roll. That.
Nominate Tim Fowler.
Fowler's been nominated. Do you accept for the alternate? Any other nominations? It's for the alternate. So moving on to the resolution, which is in your green tab. Be resolved that the following directors be and hereby elect officers of the Papio, Missouri River Natural Resource District for the coming year, and until its successor has been elected. Jim Thompson, chairman. Fred Conley, vice chairman. Rich Teaser, secretary. And Tim Fowler, treasurer. Further resolved that treasurer's written designation of Larry Bradley, assistant treasurer, is concurred by the board of directors. Be it further resolved that the presently elected Treasurer Bradley and the designated Assistant Treasurer Fowler be he and hereby authorized to serve until such time as bonding is completed on the Treasurer-elect and Assistant Treasurer-designate. Be it further resolved that Rich Teaser is hereby elected the Grass Association's Resource District Director for the coming year, and that Tim Fowler is hereby elected the Nebraska Association Resources District alternate director for the coming year. Motion. I'll move. It's seconded by Fred Conley. I guess no discussion.
Sure.
Pardon?
Made the motion.
I did.
Thank you. Quiet.
With that,
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
help of staff and continue to do our good job as we are prescribed to do by the mandate of our state law and our folks that we represent. Item 16, informational items. Scrap metal electronics recycling, the little handout. I asked my daughter, you got an old TV? She says, yeah, I've got a Kindle. That screen is broken. I'm not running up to Blair to drop off a Kindle. But anyways, there's a note inside your binder for those dates. Next meeting's in August. We'll be back here. And with that, item 17, we are adjourned.